Hi guys, Sam Fury here with another episode of the Survival Fitness Plan, the only program where you will train yourself to outrun, outfight, and outlive the majority of the world's population. This episode is brought to you by the Survival Fitness Plan. Take the $1 Survival Fitness Challenge today and get 1 month free trial to the Survival Fitness Plan members area, plus over $1,000 worth of bonuses. Visit survivalfitnessplan.com/challenge. Today we're talking about unlocking longevity, the secrets learned from, not the secrets, the lessons learned from the Netflix show Live to 100, The Secrets of the Blue Zones, which I watched just the other day. By the time you're watching this, it would have already been on, actually it might have already been, even the time I watched it, might have been on Netflix for a long time. I don't know, I just discovered it the other day because it came up as like, you should watch this. And I like longevity, obviously, so I watched it. But by the time you listen to this, maybe it's like weeks later. But just to let you know that things are going to start, I'm going to try to make things a bit more professional with this podcast slash, what do they call it, when a video log, a vlog slash podcast. So hopefully in the next one, I'll have more, a bit more soundproofing, maybe like a semi-pro microphone. I mean, don't expect anything too professional, just more professional than it is now. And also, I'm going to stop pre-recording because right now, like I record something, you might not see it for another, I don't know, couple of weeks. So what we're going to do is we're going to get all the ones that are backlogged and then start publishing them 2 times a week until they're all caught up, because I only do this once a week, and then it'll be real time. So I'll record it and then it'll get posted like the very next day, especially for the vlog and the thing. And then also it'll get turned into a blog post where you'll have all the show notes and stuff like that. Yeah, and maybe even timestamps. I don't know how different that, but you'll have a transcript and you'll have the show notes and yeah, so hopefully it'll be a bit more user-friendly, and then everything will be posted on the website, survivalfitnessplan.com too, so you can go there and look in all the archives. Anyway, let's get on with today's episode, which is all about, it's kind of like my review on this TV show, Live to 100, Secrets of the Blue Zone. So for those of you that don't know, a blue zone is where they have found the most number of centurions, that is people that have lived to over 100 years old, on average, in comparison to other places. This was actually the title Blue Zone was developed a while ago by some guy, and what he did, he just went around and then all the places where he found more centurions, he just put a little blue dot, and then after a while, after exploring a lot, he noticed that there's like clusters of these blue dots, and so these places that are like full of blue dots are called blue zones, right? And it's not like a whole country or even a whole region, or even sometimes in some cases it's not even a whole city, it might just be like a little specific place, like a little well, not a city, but like a village or something, that just happens to have a bunch of centurions because they were somehow cut off from the world, and then they've done things different, or like a specific island, which you'll learn about in this episode. So the guy who does it, he's an author. His name's Dan. I don't know how to say his last name. B-U-E-T-T-N-E-R, Butner. I think that's right, Dan Butner. My Australian accent probably messed that up. Dan Butner. And so he visits 5 blue zones, right? And I think these are like the 5 main ones that if you looked up like blue zones, they'll come up with these 5, right? On Google or ChatGPT or whatever. So I'm going to tell you my main takeaways from each. Okay, well, first of all, let me just tell you what the 5 are. The first one is Okinawa in Japan. The second is Ikaria in Greece. The third is Sardinia in Italy. Then there's one in the USA, Loma Linda in California, which was the most surprising for me. And another one in Costa Rica, which is Nicoya, N-I-C-O-Y-A. So he visits each of these places and he looks at the things and then he discerns what he thinks are the reasons why these people are living to have a good amount of people living to over 100. And then at the end, he like puts it all together and... So I'll tell you all of that, well, not in as much detail as him, obviously. You should definitely watch it yourself, but I'll give you my thoughts on it, and then I'll let you know what my conclusions and what I learned from it were. So the first one, Japan. Okinawa, which is an island south of Japan, I think. I've never been to Japan. I really, really want to go. It's on my list. Actually, all of these places, except for the USA, and Costa Rica. I've never been to. And they're like the top three places on my list of places to go, even before I watch this. So here we go. And not necessarily the specific places that they are, it's just like the countries that I want to see. Anyway, that's got nothing to do with this. All right. So the first thing is that in Japan is not the first thing, these are in order. These are just in the order that I remembered them. All right. So because I didn't watch it and then take notes as I watched it. It's just what I remembered about them. The things that stuck out most to me. So the first thing, so the first place we'll go over is Okinawa, Japan. So they have generational households, which is quite common in Asia and even in South America. Not so common in the Western world where you'll have like three generations of people, three or more generations of people living together. But in Japan, it's actually pretty common that they have, apparently, I don't know about all of Japan, maybe not Tokyo or whatever, but it's definitely in Okinawa where they'll have like the grandma, the daughter or the husband and daughter, like, and then their kids. So you've already got three generations, and then maybe they might even have a great grandmother in there as well, especially if they live in Okinawa and they're centurions, right? Because if they give birth young and live an old age, then they so they'll have generational household, which keeps them close together. And that, I think that helps the older people live longer because they got a lot of support, right? The second one, which is I found is very important and I hear about a lot, is they call it ikigai, I think, and basically, essentially, it's a sense of purpose. So they have something that gets them up in the morning every day that they want to do. All right, so ikigai is a sense of purpose. And so now we get into eating, which everyone knows that good nutrition and exercise are like cornerstones of good health and longevity. So generational households, I think, let's go back to that for a minute. That comes into community, right? So you've got community, like a sense of social belonging, and that seems to be a running theme. And then ikigai, the sense of purpose, is also very important, right? And so now we get into the, like, general health. So they eat a lot of purple sweet potatoes, which I've kind of just been drawn to for a long, long time. It's very hard to get. The only place I've been able to find it consistently is like Western countries, because you got everything there, right? But I don't know how they grow, and they're like whatever. But also the Philippines, where they just grow it, right? And purple sweet potatoes are quite good. But also the ones that you most commonly find in America, I think, or in the United States especially, are like the orange ones, and they're quite good as well. Not as good as the purple ones though. So the purple sweet potato, and I don't just mean like the purple on the outside and orange, because they're often orange on the inside. I mean like purple, deep purple inside as well. I forget what they call them, but they eat a lot of those. And I think the reason was that when they have a lot of typhoons and stuff, these potatoes, these root vegetables, are they don't get destroyed by the typhoons and that. And then they just happen to have these purple sweet potatoes, so they eat a lot of them. In fact, it's like 80% of their diet. Yeah, and that helps to. I think sweet potatoes are really good. They've got a lot of benefits in general. I know that they like help balance out your blood sugar levels and stuff like that, but they've also got a lot of antioxidants and things like that. Especially most things that have like deep dark colors, dark greens, dark purples, bright reds, blueberries are full of antioxidants as well. So purple sweet potatoes, if you can find them, and if not, any sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes are not the same as normal potatoes, so don't get confused with that. All right, the next thing is something that they have. It's a saying that they have. It's hara hachi bu, hari hachi bu. I hope that I'm pronouncing that right. Probably not, but whatever. Hara hachi bu, and it basically means, literally, it means belly 80% full, and you can take that as meaning as just eat until you're 80% full, right? Because this is something that's already in the survival fitness plan. A lot of this stuff is already in the survival fitness plan, but you eat to 80% full. First of all, you don't need to eat more than that, because you just wait 20 minutes after that, and it'll give your brain time to receive the signals from your stomach that you're full, right? A lot of the times, and I'm a big offender of this, is I just keep eating because I'm like, oh, I'm still hungry, but I keep eating, and then I feel overfull, and that's terrible, not only for how I feel, but also for health in general, if you keep doing that over and over again. So it's always a good idea to eat until 80% full, and then drink water if you want. Water is very good at filling you up, because a lot of times people think that they're hungry, but actually they're just thirsty. So drink water. All right, eat until 80% full. Wait 20 minutes. If you're still hungry, have a glass of water. If you're still hungry, then I don't know, you can have another little snack or whatever. But yeah, belly 80% full, hara hachi bu. There you go. The next thing is, so they didn't seem to show anyone like doing in Okinawa doing like dedicated exercise, right? But what they do do is they sit on the floor. Like in Japan, it's common in Japan. Even I had a Japanese girlfriend, and she didn't like sitting at the dining table. She like, let's sit on the floor and eat. So that's just the way they're brought up, which is pretty cool. And because they're sitting on the floor every day, all the time, like they don't have any seats in their house, right? They sit on the floor for every meal. They get up when they want to do something, like when they're doing an activity, they'll sit on the floor, do the activity, get up. So they're sitting and standing like, I don't know, 100 times, I don't know how often, but a lot more than Westerners, right? We sit on chairs and that. And that just naturally builds strength, right? And balance and coordination and all those sort of things. In fact, you can do the sit test. And in the Survival Fitness Plan, the sit test is built into your mobility and meditation, where you try to sit on the floor without using your hands, and then try to get up without using your hands as well. And that's thought to be a good indicator of longevity. Not so much as like you won't get a heart attack or anything, but just the fact that you've got enough strength and balance so you won't fall over and die, you know what I mean, when you're in old age. So sitting on the floor is one. And the other thing they do is they all seem to have gardens. And gardening, they're like getting, it's quite, if you're not, like it's good exercise, gardening. So if you don't want to exercise, I mean, if you listen to the Swell Fitness Plan, you obviously like exercise. But if you don't want to exercise, just for like, if you want to tell, if you want to help your friends or your family or whatever, just have a more active life. Get rid of all your chairs. This is extreme. Get rid of all your chairs in your house, right? So you have to sit on the floor, and then start growing your own vegetables, right? Not only will you eat better because you're eating fresh, your fresh veggies, but you're gardening every day, right? You're sitting on the floor, and go move somewhere where it's really hilly, and then get rid of your car so you have to walk everywhere. I know that's not very practical, especially in like Australia and United States and stuff, where you kind of need a car, and in a lot of cities you need a car. But I mean, that's how you put yourself in the position where you have to exercise, right? You don't have a choice, and it's not even exercise, you're just walking around or whatever. It's so it doesn't feel like you're doing dedicated exercise. All right, let's move on to the next one, which is Greece, Ikaria. I don't know if that's an island. Okinawa is definitely an island. Ikaria might just be a little region or a little city or whatever. Anyway, the thing about Greece, what he found, let's start with the diet. Let's start with the community thing. We'll always start with community. Let's try that. I'll put that up the front. So the first thing is they do is they prioritize family a lot. Again, you see this thing of intergenerational households, or in the or they just live close to family, right? So that's pretty good. So the family's always there, and they for older people, there's they got a lot of support. So family, and also they like their household family, like the yes. I mean, everyone takes, not everyone, but most people that are consider themselves to be good parents spend time with their kids and like their loved ones and all that. So that's general stuff. They didn't really say anything about sense of purpose in the way in Greece. I'm sure they've got it, but whatever. So we're going to skip that. Let's go to the Mediterranean diet. Greece has a very Mediterranean diet, and everyone knows one of, if you're going to follow a type of diet, the Mediterranean diet is probably one of the best ones to do it, because not only is it healthy and it's super delicious, and it's pretty easy to stick to, because they do have like foods that everyone eats every day. It's not like super extreme where it's like, oh, I'm not going to eat any sugar, or I'm going to cut out all carbs, right? Mediterranean diet's got a bit of everything, but it is very high on legumes, fresh salads. They eat a lot of fish, which is really good, and sparingly, meat is sparingly, but they still eat it, right? So Mediterranean diet. And then and they have wine, right? But they make it fresh, obviously. So I'm a bit scared. I like wine. I mean, I'm not saying wine's bad. I like wine. I drink wine, but I don't, in the way of health, like there was all these things back in the 90s or whatever, where it's like, for years and years and years, where it's like wine's got these antioxidants, and you'll drink a glass a day and it'll live longer. But it was all debunked. It's like, I mean, it's like the amount of whatever the good thing in it was is negligible. And you'd have to eat like, to get a good amount of it, you'd have to eat like a million grapes or something like that. Anyway, so I don't know about that, but there is the thing where it's like it will definitely lower, like it puts you in a relaxed state, right? Which is good. And wine, you often share it with friends, which is good for togetherness. And if it's good quality wine, like it probably doesn't do too much harm. Just don't like get smashed on it, obviously. Just have a glass or not or something. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I quite like wine. So yeah. And the third thing that that was for Greece was, or the fourth thing, sorry, is that the, it. In Ikaria, they live in a very hilly environment. So and then they don't, a lot of them don't have cars or whatever, especially the older people. So they're just walking up and down these hills all the time. So like to get to just to go to the shop and get to the house is a workout, right? It's like, so it's again, it's like they're being forced to exercise, but they don't even think about it because it's just their way of life, right? So it's like daily exercise, even though they're not actually going to the gym or whatever. All right, next place, Italy, Sardinia specifically. I'm not sure where this is. Sardinia, it's in Italy somewhere. All right, so they eat a lot of whole foods. Oh, sorry, let's go to the social thing first. So there's a they had a thing on partnership there, but I feel like this is true for every place. Like if you've got a good high quality partnership, like a very loving partnership, then you're more likely to live longer because you're happy, obviously. And the feelings of love, naturally, I read this wasn't part of the documentary, I don't think, but I heard it on a podcast somewhere, podcast, sorry, where feelings of love, it generates something in your body that naturally makes you live longer, some chemical, right? Besides dopamine, obviously. All right, so partnership was important, and the other thing, so their community is they're very church going, right? So they have the community of their church, so they go to church every day, and they mingle with people of like-mindedness, and fundamentally good people, right? Of like-mindedness in their church. So that's the social aspect that they found that was high in Sardinia. The other thing was the foods that they eat is they have a lot of whole foods, right? Minestrone soup, which I love, which is like a lot of beans and vegetables basically in a soup. And also they drink a lot of herbal tea, which has a plethora of advantages. All different herbal teas have different advantages, but like just choose the one that you like, the ones that you like the most, and drink them, and drink them every day, right? Herbal tea, it's really good. Drink the fresh stuff. All right, they didn't really say anything about exercise in Italy, not that I recall, but they get around, right? They walk to church every day, I guess. All right, now we go. This one really surprised me. There's actually a place in the USA, in California, called Loma Linda. And the main thing they had about this, and this is the group thing, was that they're all Adventists, right? Which is a type of Christianity, I think. It's definitely a type of church, a religious thing, Adventists. And in this Adventist group, they prioritize health and fitness. But also, because they're all going to this church, they've got a big community aspect, right? So there it is, community again. And so most Adventists, although I don't think it's like their law, like in their scripture or whatever, but they're most of them are vegetarians, right? They eat a plant-based diet. So we see this popping up a lot, plant-based diet. And I'll get to this in a minute because a lot of the time we, in the Western world, we're like protein, protein, protein. But in the plant-based diet, it's kind of hard to get all the protein that they recommend. We'll get back to that. So they all follow a plant-based, not all of them, but most of them, and they do regular social exercise together, right? I think they highlighted this lady that brought pickleball to Loma Linda in like 2006 or whatever, and so they all do pickleball, and apparently tennis and pickleball are exceptionally good for longevity because of the hand-eye coordination involved. It like improves your brain and stuff like that. I've heard that in a couple of places. And then finally, they also do a lot of charity work, which I guess fits into your sense of purpose, and also just doing charitable stuff, right? It's different from working, because it's charity. I think you get different feelings of doing good. So yeah, so that was USA Loma Linda in California. It surprised me, because their environment, a lot of these places, they're healthy, or they've got longevity because their environment forces them to be. But in Loma Linda, the Adventists have manufactured their own, and not even on purpose, I don't think. I don't think they were going for longevity. They're just like, oh, eat the plant-based and do social exercise and like do some charity work, and then that just naturally happened, right? All right, the last place was Costa Rica, Nicoya, and I was wondering, me and my friend were actually thinking, I wonder, because I hadn't watched the whole thing yet, I was like, I wonder if there's a place in Latin America, because we live in Latin America. I'm currently in Colombia. And we had a few guesses. I thought maybe Chile, because of the Chile, because it's very mountainous. I guess there's mountains, all the Andes, all through South America anyway. And then she said maybe Ecuador, right, or Peru. But surprise, not. I mean, it's not. It wasn't surprising what I found. We just didn't guess it, I guess. It's Costa Rica, and there's a little place called Nicoa in Costa Rica specifically. I didn't remember much about this place. The thing. I mean, they have a lot of chill time, right? They rest in the afternoons. He works in this guy that they highlighted. He's like, does super work, right? He's like riding horses and all sorts of stuff, and he's like 100 or something, and it's incredible. He looked so young, and but he works hard in the morning. Like he has a reason to get up and work in the morning, right? And he gets up at like 6, but then he stops at like 11 or 10 or something, and then just rests and chills with his friends in the afternoon. So he's got a lot of community as well, but he gets the physical work, so the natural movement in the morning. And then their diet is a lot of what they call the Three Sisters. Now, Three Sisters is actually a form of gardening, which I learned about when I was looking into sustainable living. And it's basically you have beans, you grow corn in the middle, right? And then you've got beans. They wrap like the bean vines that go around the corn or whatever. And then at the bottom, they've got squash. And all these three vegetables, not only do they grow really well together, they actually give you everything you need in the human body as well. Beans alone might not be a complete protein, but you mix it with corn and squash, and it's got like a lot of stuff that so you get enough protein, or at least you get the right combination of vegetarian. Again, these are plant-based diet vegetarian protein, right? So beans, corns, and squash, call it the Three Sisters. Yeah, and you see a lot of places they have like rice and beans as a staple. And rice is another way. You mix rice and beans together, it's a complete protein, right? Corn just happens to be more available in Costa Rica, I guess. So there you go. That was the five places and the little glimpses of stuff I got from them. So then he puts together the main themes, right? This guy, Dan Buettner, puts together the main themes. So the first one, and which we've gone over them already, but we'll go over them again so we'll make them more clear. The first one is outlook. They all have a bright outlook in the future, whether they unwind, right? Whether they relax, not whether they all kind of relax, they have relaxed time, unwinding, spending time with family and chilling out. Faith, right? Going to church and stuff like that. And a sense of purpose, like a reason to get up and go to work in the morning. The second one is, although none of them really did like specific exercise, except for in the United States, right? The rest of the places, they didn't really do any specific exercise time. I mean, they might have, but it didn't show it there. But they all move a lot naturally, right? The Japanese, they sit on the floor, so they have to get up all the time. The people in Greece, they in Ikaria, they have hilly environments, so they have to walk up and down the hills all the time, right? A lot of them, almost every single one was like, oh, we do gardening, right? Gardening's a big thing. Just walking. Doing everything by hand, like in Costa Rica, and that they didn't have like machinery, so they're just doing stuff by hand. They in Italy, they were like grinding the pasta, like making pasta by hand, right? Just doing stuff by hand. The third, so that's move naturally. The next one was eat wisely. So they all ate plant-based diets, right? And I'm gonna get to back to this in a minute. They have wine and the. Some of them had wine, and the other thing was to eat in moderation, right? That remember that Hari Hachi Bu, I think it was. Eat in moderation, 80% full. So that's a big one. I think most people know these. The eat in moderation one. We're going to come back to plant-based in a minute. And the last thing is connect, right? A lot of them they put family first, right? They have loving partnerships, and the thing that I think is most prominent because everyone, like most people, even in Western world, family first, partnership are key themes. But then they've he says something called right tribe. So find a group of people like-minded and that you can really connect with, right? In Japan, I think I didn't say it, but they had this thing called Moi or Maui. It's basically they get together, and it was for financial reasons, right? Because they live on the island. It's like if some person gets sick, we all pull in money and then we can help them. But then they also just get together and like play card games and talk about stuff, and like they're a really tight-knit group, and I think that's more to do with longevity, right? So right tribe, so whether it be like a church group or someone that you play sports with or whatever you do together, just like-minded people that you can get together with. I actually listened to a podcast this morning Tony Robbins was interviewing this guy that wrote this new book about making your mind, and he says one of the best things you can do every day is go for a long walk with a good friend and talk about your problems, right? So that's going to be integrated into the survival fitness plan pillars of longevity. But there you go. All right. So the next thing he goes on to is so anyway, they're the main themes: outlook, move naturally, eat wisely, and connect. The next thing he goes on to is about creating blue zones, right? So he's gone into like a couple of US cities or large, smaller cities. Like I think there was one in Minnesota, and he tried another one, and they actually like lowered the life, not lowered, sorry, rose the life expectancy by like 4 or 4 to 7 years in these places, right? And then one place that he went to as well was Singapore, where this was kind of interesting because in Singapore, apparently they have got like a big, like they're going to soon have a really big elderly population, and they're worried about the healthcare, right? The rising cost of healthcare is going to be for these elderly people. So what they've done is they've made countrywide, it's different in Singapore because it's a city country, right? It's just like a big city and then that's a country. So then they can say something and they can implement it quite quickly in comparison, like with the United States, you'd have to go state by state or whatever, but whatever. So Singapore, and then they basically were like, listen, we need to combat this now, so when all these people get super old, they're not all going to be sick because we won't be able to handle it. So they've put in place things and policies to force healthy living. And a couple of the ones that I just off the top of my head that I can remember was like the price of a car, for example, is ridiculously high. It's like three times the amount as it is in the United States. So a lot of people just can't afford or don't want to pay for the car because it's outlandish, right? So they all take transport and then they walk to work and ride bicycles and stuff like that. The other one is that they put these outdoor gyms, fresh air gyms. No, they called all sorts of things. I've been seeing them all around the world. I remember the first ones that I ever saw were in China, more, like over 10 years ago. And I was like, oh, that's a really good idea. And then they started popping up everywhere, right? I don't really see them in the United States though. I see them in Australia. They've got them here. I know the university's gone because I train there every day. In Brazil, they had them. Right, anyway, they've got them in a bunch of places. But in Singapore, they specifically put them on like every corner or something like that, like on every city block or every block or in every apartment complex, they have this thing, right? Where it's like an open air stationary gym where you can go, you do pull-ups and push-ups and body weight exercises, right? So that was really cool. And the other thing that they used to do, and also, so that was for the movement part, and then for the social part, they actually give grants, and they're like, if you go live closer to your elderly parents or closer to your family, like your generational family, they'll like support, like they'll give you some kind of rebate or something like that to live closer to your elderly family, so you're more often to go visit them and spend time with them and help them out, so and stuff like that. And then on the food thing, they're like, because Singapore, I remember when I used to go there more often, like the food's not that healthy. It tastes delicious, and I guess it's healthier than the American standard American diet because it's a lot of noodles and rice and vegetables and stuff. But it really is like used to be cooked in like just crud oil and stuff. And so now they're like, listen, if you're a hawker is what they call them, it's like the people that sell food on the street or in the food courts. If you're a hawker and you make healthier food, well, you can have this badge, right? A sign that you can put on the thing. So people that are looking for healthier choices know to come to you that you use healthier oil or it's like low fat foods and stuff like that. So that's pretty cool too. And then there was this other thing that they said where the way they positioned things was it purposely made people, there was this one apartment complex in particular, or one this living space in particular, the way they made it, so when people walked from their home to the train station, they had to pass through this communal food court-ish area where they would see people and socialize and be like, hey, how's it going, and all this sort of stuff. So there were some innovative ideas that they did in Singapore. All right, here we go. We're coming to the end now. So my main takeaways. So I did know most of it. Most of it's already inbuilt into the survival fitness plan about movement, about eating and stuff. It was nice to have things confirmed. There was two big surprises for me. was that you don't have to do specific exercise, right? A lot of non-specific exercise is good enough, because a lot of these people living to 100, they didn't have like an exercise routine, right? All they did, for example, in Japan, they sit on the floor, right? They don't use cars. They live somewhere that's quite hilly, so they have to, and they do gardening, right? So I think if you don't want to do exercise, I know I mentioned this before, but if you don't want to have a specific exercise routine, if you get rid of all your chairs, right, get rid of your car, move to somewhere with a lot of hills, and start a garden, right? That'll be enough. Maybe buy a dog and then have to walk it like a couple of hours a day, and that's more than enough. I think when I get old and I'm tired of doing the survival fitness plan, hopefully not for a long time, but when that happens, that's like what I'm gonna do. I'll get a dog that needs to be walked a lot, so I'll walk like 2, 3 hours a day, and then do some gardening, and then yeah, maybe not live somewhere hilly because I like the beach, but go for a swim in the beach, and then and not have a car. I already don't have a car. I don't like cars. I like walking, and I think when I get a house, I'm just not gonna buy any seats. I know it's a bit extreme. Sometimes I'm a bit extreme, but there you go. But if you're Japanese, it's not extreme at all. Sitting on the floor is like a normal thing. So just a frame of mind, right? And the second big surprise was the minimal protein consumption. I guess because these guys didn't really care about building muscle or so the conception, not the conception, but I've heard a lot of people say, especially like, for example, Andrew Huberman, and they're like, you got to build muscle because once you get to a certain age, you get atrophy, right? Your muscle declines. So the idea is to build it now, and then you don't, because you won't be able to do it as much when you're older, right? And like the growth stage is less. So you build as much as you can now, so then you're still strong in your old age. Even though it's declined, you'll still be pretty strong, right? Which makes perfect sense, and I agree. But to build muscle, you need quite a lot of protein, right? It's like 1 gram per pound. Per day, right? So if I weigh 60 kilos, let's just say it's 130 pounds, I have to add 130 grams of protein per day, right? And that can be quite hard. And especially if you're eating a plant-based diet, right? So, but in all these places, they do go on plant-based diets and they have minimal protein consumption. Now, none of them, to me, look like they'd be able to fight off an attacker on the street. Let's just get that straight. So in the survival fitness plan, you're learning how to fight, how to run, because yeah, longevity, or you can be or the healthiest person in the world, but if someone attacks you on the street, you know what I mean? You got to be able to protect yourself in that way. But it's a bit more of on the extreme side, but that's the deal with it. So I think that these two things, although they're surprises and it's good for longevity. So perhaps when you don't feel like training in the survival fitness plan anymore, but you still want to live a long, happy, healthy life, go for them. But they're not the best if you are training the survival fitness plan, because first of all, you need the protein consumption in order to build strength, not necessarily bulk, but to build strength, right? And you want to do exercise so you can get stronger, so you can outrun, outlive, and outfight, outlive the majority of the world's population. All right. But how can we adapt it? So I've gone over this before. I think the best ways to adapt it is because you don't have to go live in a blue zone. All right? I'm sure there's plenty of people in those blue zones that'll live unhealthy lives and die at like 50, 80, whatever, right? So going to live in a blue zone is not the answer. I think the answer is to structure your life or just constantly make an effort to do the three things, right? It's like move more, eat well, have a community, have a sense of purpose. And one big thing I think that they didn't really touch on is get cleaner air. If you live in a city, like let's say you live in New York or China, right? Or Beijing, which is like the air pollution is ridiculously high. That does a lot of damage. They said that living in LA, like breathing in the LA traffic was like smoking, I don't know, 17 cigarettes or something. That's nuts. So get cleaner air, and you can put a HEPA filter in your home for starters, right? So, or just move somewhere where it has cleaner air. You don't have to live in a city, right? Like I like living near the beach. You might want to live in the mountains, stuff like that. And then follow the survival fitness plan and the pillars of longevity, which will be coming out shortly. Probably by the time you hear this, remember at the start that I said this is a delayed broadcast. So maybe by the time you hear this, the Pillars of Longevity will already be a full course. It's a living ebook at the moment where I'm still creating it, but I'm going to create it into a course, into a full system. So for people that don't want to do the Survival Fitness Plan, they can still live a long, happy, and healthy life, and then it'll dive deeper into things like sense of purpose and things like that. Anyway, and connectivity and all that. All right, that's it for today. Take the $1 Survival Fitness Challenge today and get 1 month free trial to the Survival Fitness Plan members area, plus over $1,000 worth of bonuses. www.survivalfitnessplan.com/challenge. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. Give us a rating and review, and I'll see you again next time. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.